Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We're going to continue on in our series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You might wonder why I'm chuckling a little bit, but we never foresaw this series going this many parts. This is part number 16 now. Wow. And it's been good, and yet I still see that there's a whole lot more that can be taught on each one of these gifts. So, you know, we're going to conclude this series here in this part, and it may be possible that we might pick up each one of these specific spiritual gifts as series of their own. Let me speak my proper English here. I've been going to your English class, so I should be learning. Anyway, so before we get into this, I want to introduce my lovely, beautiful, wonderful, awesome woman of God who God has given me to be my wife, this beautiful woman, Miss Norca Karina.
Hi, everyone. That's the beauty of being led by the Holy Spirit, even though we may have some plans and think that we were going to finish it up the previous podcast or maybe two podcasts before, but this is the Holy Spirit's doing, and he does whatever he wants. We just follow his leading. So it's been good. It's been great. And I know it's going to continue to enrich us. And I am excited to hear what the Holy Spirit is going to give us today. And once again, I have to encourage our listeners to please make sure you go back and listen to the prior podcast, all of them, but especially if you are so interested and motivated and encouraged with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, go ahead to part one. You will not regret it. It is very, very inspirational and even more so life transforming.
Amen. I don't know who else can give me a better introduction than my sweetheart. Anyway, so we want to continue on and in this part here, and we're going to, like I said, conclude this series. And well, we'll see, of course, you know, as you said, the Holy Spirit leads. We want to talk about the gifts of healings, which we haven't mentioned in these nine spiritual gifts yet, but I want to say one last thing about the gift of discerning of spirits. Okay. Before we end, we were talking about this prior to, you know, us doing this podcast this evening, and I mentioned why I thought it was necessary we need to add this extra little part. And that's because people, you know, oftentimes say, well, we don't believe in the gifts, or we don't need the gifts, because, you know, if God wants to heal, then he can heal. He can deliver. If there's a spirit in affecting someone, then he can deliver them, and he doesn't need these gifts, or we don't need these gifts. But let's, you know, add this part here as to why the Lord has given us these gifts. You know, particularly the word of knowledge and the gift of discerning the spirits, because they can go along, right along also with the gifts of healings. When the gifts of healings comes into manifestation, then it is God through the person manifesting that specific gift to heal somebody of something. It isn't simply we just do this by faith and we're trusting God. This is a gift coming into manifestation. And oftentimes we have known that certain people who have been given these spiritual gifts, that's part of their ministry, that they start having a large following, or, you know, people start coming to their meetings and crusades or whatever it is they might have. And the evidence is the fact that they have these gifts, because why would droves of people be coming out to their meetings if these gifts were not in greater manifestation? Then you might see once in a while somebody praying for somebody to get healed. Of course, they're happening much more frequently. But even so, like I said about the gift of discerning of spirits and the word of knowledge and why those are important, also they can be important in terms of the gifts of healing as well. Because, you know, sometimes a person's faith needs to be lifted up to another level for them to believe that God is going to heal them. And sometimes, like I said earlier in the series about the word of knowledge itself, is the Lord can call out somebody through a word of knowledge and say, hey, basically, I know you, and I care about you, you know, by speaking their name through the person. A person can say, you know, there's a person in the audience. This could be through television even, or a preacher on a platform and someone in the auditorium in the audience say, there's a woman here named Susie, and you have been just diagnosed with, cancer. And the doctor just told you yesterday that you have 6 months to live. Mm-hmm. Now, these are specific pieces of information. He just told you yesterday you have 6 months to live, and your name is Susie, and you have a diagnosis of cancer. He may be more specific than that. He may say you have ovarian cancer, or you have breast cancer, or you have lung cancer, whatever it might be. And so what that does for Susie is help Susie to have faith that God not only can heal, but he wants to heal her.
That's right.
So that word of knowledge will come into play. And likewise with someone with the discerning of spirits, they can have that gift operate to help that person know that it is a spirit that's behind it, not only for the fact of being delivered from it, but to be able to prevent it from coming back. Because oftentimes when there is a spirit behind a situation causing a sickness, a disease, some kind of ailment or infirmity in their body or even in their soul, mind, the enemy has gained an advantage there through some means. It could be fear. We talked about that in the last podcast, that fear oftentimes opens the door to people. And so if God didn't use the gift of discerning of spirits and just healed that person, delivered them from that spirit without them being aware of it, then that spirit is going to try to come back, and they may not be prepared and ready for that. Because Jesus even said so himself in Matthew chapter 12. He said, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and can't find none. But says to himself, I will go back to my house. And it says he takes seven spirits more wicked than himself and goes and dwells therein. Right? So it's should be understood, if you know the scriptures well enough, that when an evil spirit is dealt with and cast out, he'll often try to come back. And so if the person is being healed or delivered from, a spirit causing arthritis or a spirit causing cancer or a spirit causing whatever ailment it might be, and that spirit is not known to the person that was causing it, they don't know it was a spirit that was behind it, then that spirit, when it comes back with no symptoms, they'll just assume, oftentimes they do, assume that, well, I guess I didn't get healed. This was just, my imagination or something, that happened here. There's been all kinds of things that have been said. I've read over, years of testimonies, even going back to some who testified like 100 years ago, writing about that. They said, well, they didn't get healed. They were just hypnotized, and they just felt better, and they had this euphoric feeling after hands were laid on them, and they thought they were healed, but they went home, and they really weren't, because they were back in the same condition they were. And it could have been the fact that an evil spirit was present and it departed, and they got delivered. But when they got back home on their own, the spirit came back and put the symptoms back on them. And they accepted it. Brother Hagin tells a story about this, a situation where there was a man who had arthritis in his shoulder and his arm so bad. He worked on a farm. And, back in those days, I think this is probably back in the 1940s or 50s, somewhere around there. And, hard work. Farming was a lot harder work back then than it is now, because we got a lot of modern machinery today. It does a lot of the work for us. But the fact is, that was his livelihood, and he couldn't work because he couldn't make use of his one of his arms. I don't know if it's right or left arm, but he got healed of that when Brother Hagin laid hands on him and prayed and delivered from this spirit, and because it was a spirit causing it. And then the next time he saw him, I don't know, it was months later, whenever it was, he was back in that same condition again. And Brother Hagin saw him. He says, before you tell me what you're going to say, let me tell you what happened. Because he told him that he was, he had lost his healing and he was back in that same condition. And he said, well, let me tell you what happened. He said, when those pain came back on you, and the symptoms came back on you, you said, I guess I really didn't get healed at all.
Wow. There you go.
He said, as soon as you said that, you signed your agreement with the devil who put that back on you. He says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to rebuke this spirit, and I command it to go again. And I'm assuming he was operating in the word of knowledge. I don't remember the full extent of the story where he knew it was the spirit behind it. But he broke the power of that thing off of him, and it left, and he was healed right there on the spot.
Amen.
Again, the second time. He said, now here's what I want you to do. Next time, he said, when the enemy comes back, he'll come back twice. When he comes back with those symptoms, you say, oh, no, you don't, devil. You're not putting that back on me in Jesus' name. He said, will you do that? He said, yeah, I'll do that. And so sometime later, he saw me again. He said, Brother Hagin, it was just as you said. I was out working and everything was going fine. And all of a sudden, I felt this pain in my arm. And I felt it shoot up into my shoulder. And I remembered what you said. And I said, oh, no, you don't, devil. You're not putting that back on me. And he said, the thing left.
Amen.
And see, Amen. You know, I'm not saying that every time we have a symptom, that always means there's a demon. But let's put it this way. There's a good chance it could be. Because the fact is, sometimes pains just come out of nowhere.
That's so true.
And then what happens immediately? Some thought comes into my mind. Well, you're getting cancer. Well, you're getting, you know, arthritis. Or, you know, Aunt Susie had it. And Uncle Ben had it. And Mom and Grandma had it. So you're going to get it. The devil is a slick salesman. You know, he's like the UPS driver or the FedEx people. They come up to the door. You know, well, now they just drop off packages and send you a text, right? But, you know, back in the day, you know, you had to go to the door to sign for the package.
Right.
You know, so the devil's, that's what he does. He comes to the door and gets you to sign for the package. Here's some cancer. Here's some arthritis. Will you sign for it? You know, I mean, we're quick, you know, and I'm not saying this is everybody because not everybody does this. But oftentimes many people are quick to accept the symptoms as if it's the real thing. When a symptom may be just the devil trying to get them to believe for it. Because he can put the symptom on you. He can put oppression on people and see how they're going to respond. It's like when he comes with depression. Who says we got to accept it? That is, you know, ours. No, it ain't mine. It's the devil's. I don't want it. You can keep it. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. So we need to resist all that stuff. Now, of course, if symptoms persist and we feel the need, we need to go see a doctor, then by all means, do so. I go to see the doctor, you know, because I've prayed and rebuked things, and I don't know if the spirit was behind it, but I went to see the doctor, and we went from there. And you know what? There are some things the doctors gave me some medication or whatever and alleviate the problem.
Amen.
Took care of it. I mean, if I got a broken bone, a bone sticking out of my arm, I'm not going to sit there all day, you know, for the next several weeks waiting to see if it's going to be healed. I'll pray, and if God heals, he heals it. If he don't, I'm going to the doctor and have that bone set.
That would be wise.
You know, so it's not, we're not saying we don't believe in doctors. Absolutely we do. God gave them the wisdom to do what they do. But at the same time, we need to understand there's a spiritual realm. And the enemy works in that spiritual realm, and he works to bring sickness and disease to people and whatever things he can to try to mess up their life, because that's what he does. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, and that's what Jesus said that he does. So we need to be mindful of that. So having said that, we can now move on to the gifts of healing. The gifts of healing is one of those gifts that a lot of people would love to have, and I could say the same thing. It is a wonderful gift to have, because we know there's a lot of people that's sick, a lot of people who have ailments and diseases and things, and what a wonderful gift it would be for someone to come along who has that gift and can lay hands on them and pray, and that gift manifests and they're healed instantly of that cancer or whatever it might be.
That would be great.
So the gifts of healing is like I said, is a special gift. One of the nine spiritual gifts of the Spirit that manifests as the Spirit wills. And I say that because I used to have people tell me, well, if you believe in that, you know, you can heal anybody or everybody. Then why don't you just walk into the hospitals and heal everybody? And I said, well, it don't work like that. It works as the Spirit wills. Now, if the Spirit willed for you to walk into the hospital and pray for everybody and everybody would be healed, that would be one thing. But generally, that wouldn't even work anyway, because it usually works according to people's faith. Because even Jesus said, and let's turn to this, you know, because people need to understand that these gifts don't operate as we will. Because believe me, if we willed, had anything to do with it, our will, we would be operating them all the time. That's We'd clear true. Out every hospital. Mm-hmm. You know, so let's look at Mark chapter 6. And this is going to kind of cross over a little bit about how some of these gifts also operate, because they operate by faith. And I'm not talking about the manifestation of the gift of faith as a special manifestation. I'm just talking about general faith. Mark chapter 6, verse 1 says that this is Jesus. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given him, that such mighty works, or dunamis is what's saying here, are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. Wow. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people, and he healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in the circuit teaching. Now notice here, says here, that he could do no mighty work there. He could do no miracle. He can do no dunamis power there. Because if you've been watching or listening to these podcasts from the very beginning, you recall that I had stated that the mighty work here is the word dunamis, and dunamis is power. So when it's talking about the gift of miracles in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's the word dunamis, which means power, the working of power. So it says he could do no mighty work there, or miracle there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them all. Now, some people say, well, Jesus healed everybody everywhere he went. No, he didn't. He couldn't do it right here in his hometown. He said he marveled because of their unbelief. So see how much faith has to do with this situation? It wasn't simply that God willed everybody to be healed or Jesus willed them to be healed. Their faith had something to do with it. So the gifts of the Spirit, even though they do operate as the Spirit wills, they also operate by faith. They operate by faith on two parts, on the part of the person with the gift and on part of the person receiving it. Because, you know, if you come up there, well, I still don't believe, you know, they got nothing. Well, I don't believe they have the gifts operating in their life, you know. And for the most part, they're probably not going to ever receive anything. Now, sometimes there are exceptions to the rule. I've heard of people coming to some healing meetings and crusades and came there to mock the preacher. Mm-hmm. And God healed them.
God is so
and they
good.
Can become a believer. And God came down and got saved. But that usually happens for unbelievers because they don't know any better. But, you know, as a Christian, God requires us over time to learn the word. And he holds us accountable for what we're supposed to know. And that also means we're supposed to know that we're to walk in by faith and we're to believe in these things. So again, I want to reiterate what I've said several times in some of these previous podcasts in this series, that if we don't believe the gifts of the Spirit are for today, then they're not for you, not for you today, because they work by faith. You know, show me a scripture in the Bible where it says the gift ceased when the last apostle died. You know, there's not one scripture in there. And, you know, I made a joke earlier today with my wife when we were out driving going to look at a house, you know, and I said, yeah, some people, you know, because I used to say this often. I said, some people have a black marker edition of the Bible. You know, what does that mean? They have a black marker to mark out verses of scripture they don't believe are for today anymore. You know, because what did Paul say in his writings? He said, despise not prophecies, but people do. They despise that gift. They despise the office of the prophet. They don't believe it's for today. Anybody who claims to be a prophet, they're the first ones to say, no, you're not a prophet. That's false. You just believe you are. Those things aren't for today. Or, no, there's not apostles today. Show me where it says there's not apostles today. Well, there was only the first 12. Well, actually, no, there wasn't. There was more than that. What about Paul? Well, okay, he's an exception. Well, what about Barnabas? It says in Acts chapter 14 that the apostles Barnabas and Paul called Barnabas apostle. And actually, if you do the word study on the word apostle in the Greek, you'll find out there's actually more than the 12 and 13 and 14. There's up to 23 named in the New Testament as apostles, people you never even probably heard of. So there were apostles after Paul and Barnabas and after the original 12. You know, apostles once sent, you know. So anyway, getting back to these gifts, and the gifts of healing, Jesus could not manifest this gift of healing.
Because of unbelief.
Because of unbelief. And don't you think he would want to, especially in his own hometown?
Definitely.
Wouldn't he want to do that maybe more there than anywhere else? I mean, he's a man just like us, and he certainly would have loved to be able to show them that, you know, that God has sent him, and he had the gifts operating his life. And it says in John, the book of John, it tells us that God had given him the gifts of the Spirit, or, you know, the Spirit without measure. Mm-hmm. So he operated fully in all of them, except for tongues, interpretation. He didn't operate in that one. But all the other gifts, wow. Raising the dead, healing the sick, mm-hmm. cleansing the lepers, turning water to wine. I mean, you name it, he did it. You know, so the gifts are for us today, but unbelief will short-circuit it. And certainly it did here, because he could do no mighty work. It's, you know, Brother Hagin mentioned this in some of his teaching about how the Lord had even showed him this. He said, I didn't say I wouldn't do. I said I couldn't. You see, did you not notice I said I could not do? I could do no mighty work there? It didn't say he wouldn't. It said he couldn't. Their unbelief short-circuited it. Their lack of faith short-circuited God's ability. Now somebody said, well, if God wants to do it, he'll just do it anyway. This is not how he operates. He operates by faith. And so if there's somebody listening to this broadcast that says, you know, I've listened to all these parts and I still don't know if I believe what you're saying, Brother Keith. I just don't know. You know, if this or these things are true. Well, here's what I would challenge you to do. Study the scriptures. Study and look for yourself in the New Testament to see where it is taught that the days of miracles ceased when the last apostle died. And look where it says that any of these gifts cease for any other reason. You won't find it. But I've challenged you to study it out because, you know, when people say, well, this is what I was taught in my seminary or what I was taught in my church, you know, what does the Bible say? It's not what a seminary or a denomination teaches as much as even some of those ones that oppose their charismatic teachings, you know, as we say charismatics, ones who believe in the gifts of the Spirit, those who oppose them, oppose us. I have a lot of respect for someone for what they do believe, you know, what they do teach, you know, because they do teach a lot about repentance and about surrendering their life to God and all that, and that's very valuable. But yet, on this subject, they don't believe these things are for today, so therefore, they're not entitled to them because, you know, you receive them by faith. So, we're going to kind of conclude this by now finishing up here on briefly hear about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which I said I was going to get to. Now, I'm not going to go in depth here on this in the next 5 minutes because we're going to close here. but I'll plan to do, if the Lord leads, is to do a series on the baptism in the Holy Spirit itself.
That would be great.
It's connected to the gifts of the Spirit, but the baptism is the foundation. And I think, you know, looking back on some of my teachings, I don't remember exactly where it was, but I know I'm pretty sure I mentioned it, but I'll mention it again. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is not the same as the born-again experience and receiving the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we know this because we know that Jesus breathed on his own disciples for them to receive the Holy Spirit in John chapter 20, which was on the first day of his resurrection.
Amen.
And you can study it out. Look at John chapter 20, and it talks about how Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early in the morning on that first day, that being the Sabbath day, and found the tomb empty. And this is down in verse 19 or 20. I'm not even looking at it right now. Down there in that neighborhood, it says that Jesus appeared to his own disciples that same day at evening. And he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Well, I asked this before. Did they receive the Holy Spirit? Yes. And if they did, how did they receive him? In what capacity? Did he come to just be with them? Or did he breathe on them in terms of them becoming born again? Because wasn't the Holy Spirit already with them before when he sent them out two by two? When he said they went out, and the Spirit, you know, they cast out demons and did all those things. So this is understood by, I think, most all denominations and even all seminaries, that they were born again at that moment in time. But interestingly, he says to them in Acts chapter 1, when he's getting ready to ascend back to heaven, prior to him ascending back to heaven, he said, "To wait in Jerusalem till you're endued with power from on high, for you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Right? When did he say that? Well, Luke says in that first chapter, he says that after 40 days, he had proved to them by many infallible proofs, right? You know, of his resurrection, who he was, right? 40 days after his resurrection, he said, "Wait in Jerusalem till you're endued with power from on high." Well, didn't he breathe on him the first day of his resurrection? 39 to 40 days prior? Yes. Weren't they born again then? Yes. So what's he telling them to wait in Jerusalem till they're endued with power from on high, not many days from now? Which he's saying this, and he goes up, you know, 40 days after his resurrection. Well, that time yet to come was 10 more days, which ended up being 50 days after his resurrection, after Passover.
Pentecost.
And Pentecost means count 50.
That's right.
In the Greek, count 50. 50 days Pentecost, and that was when the Holy Spirit's power was poured out.
Amen.
Now, some, of course, were born again and received the power at the same time, right? Because we know this from Acts chapter 10 and 11 on Cornelius' household. You know, they were not saved. They were not born again. And they received the Holy Spirit and the born again experience and the power of God all at the same time, all in one installment.
And baptism.
Yeah, and then they got water baptized, you know, that same day. So they received the power. So we're going to talk about that and why I'm differentiating between this, the presence and the power, is you can be born again and receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And he can come into your heart to live in your heart by his Spirit. So you have the Holy Spirit. You are born again and born of the Spirit. But that doesn't mean you've received power. Because just as the apostles received the presence of the Holy Spirit being born again, they also had to wait for the power. And when the power came, things changed in their life where they walked in the supernatural power. And this even goes to say that Jesus did the same thing. Was not Jesus born miraculously by the power of the Holy Spirit?
That's true.
So did he not have the Holy Spirit from birth?
Yes.
He would have had to have, because how could he live a sinless life without the Holy Spirit? Because he never committed sin his whole life, correct?
That's right.
And second of all, and he astounded the the Jewish priests and scribes and them when he was 12 years old sitting in the temple with his wisdom. So the Holy Spirit was in him and with him this whole time, right? But yet, on the day that he was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, it says the Holy Spirit descended from heaven like the form of a dove and rested on him and said, and the voice came out of heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," right? Then it said that the Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after those 40 days of being tempted, it says he returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit.
Amen.
You can see this in Luke chapter 3 and chapter 4, because he comes back to his hometown of Nazareth in the synagogue, and he reads from the book of Isaiah and said, you know, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He's to sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to open up blind eyes, to heal, you know, do all these things." And they're like, "What? Who is this guy? What's he thinking? We know him." See, now he's operating in the supernatural. Now he's walking in the power of the Spirit. Mm. He did not perform one miracle prior to him receiving that baptism in the River Jordan where the Holy Spirit came upon. And that was the power of baptism that he received then.
Amen.
And see, he set an example for us to follow, that he lived with the Holy Spirit with him to help him to live a sinless life, and he received the power in order to be equipped to be able to do the miraculous and heal the sick and do those things that God's called him to do and operate in the gifts. And so we're going to talk about this in depth in a series. I don't know if it'll be our next series. I'm planning on it to be the next series, but it depends on how the Lord leads. The series on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and show evidences and go over these scriptures that I'm just briefly talking about here. So we're going to end this now. And I say to you to, you know, to tell people about this. They need to learn about this, because without not only the presence of the Holy Spirit, but without the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're really ill-equipped to be able to deal with the devil and to be able to do the things that we need to do. We're kind of like operating on, you know, bicycle power when we need jet power. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to my sweetheart, and we're going to end this podcast here.
That's so good. And it's important to mention, I know it's obvious, that one cannot assume to receive the power of the Holy Spirit before being born again. So we obviously first need to be born again. And that's the invitation that we extend to you today. It is the gospel. That is the good news. The bad news was that we were separated from the Lord, from God. But Jesus Christ came and died on the cross so that you and I can be reconciled with God the Father. And he is so good that he came to the cross and he took your place, he took my place, so that your sin and my sins could be paid for, because you cannot see God with your sins. So somebody had to pay for them, and nobody could do the job except Jesus. Now, isn't that a great gift? He's offering you his life in exchange for your sins. He offers you his justification in exchange for our nature, our sinful nature. So God is so good. And how can we say no to such an amazing, loving offer? Jesus loves you so much. He wants you to have eternal life with him. Well, to live for eternity, throughout eternity. And you cannot do it without him. So why don't you make that decision today? Admit that you are a sinner and believe that Jesus Christ is the only one who can save you. He's the only way. And confess him as Lord and Savior. And you, if you do that and it's sincere, you will then become also part of the family of God.
Amen. Amen. Couldn't say it any better, my sweetheart. So we'll conclude this here, and God bless everybody, and we wish you to have a good night.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.